It's December. That means another episode of Coffee Chats. And today we are here with
Miss Myers.
Yay. Yeah, please introduce yourself, like position, etc.
All right, my name is Miss Myers, or as the district has forced me to be at work, Miss Keller, which is on Aries in Google Classroom. I teach English 9 honors. I've been here for 8 years, but I'm also the newspaper advisor and teach journalism.
Yay! Yeah. I don't think I've ever called you Miss Keller.
Me neither. That's kind of...
I'm happy about that. We'll see how much longer that lasts. Miss Schultes was like, I think we're going to have to give up our fight next year, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh.
Yeah.
When they... There's going to be... I think... Because, like, I feel like people you've had since, like, ninth grade know you as just Miss Myers, so everyone calls you as Miss Myers. But I feel like as the generation is, like, shifting, more people are starting to call you Miss Keller.
It's true. Maybe. And... Oh, sorry.
Maybe next year is, like, your last year.
It might have to be, especially because... But it's kind of funny that I've had students last year that I've had their older siblings, like, their much older siblings, and... One of them was like, I told my sister I'd Miss Keller, and she was like, who is that? And she was like, and then I got here and it was you. And I was like, yeah. So that's, I wanted Myers because I like the consistency, mm-hmm. you know, across the different, I have a lot of different siblings that I have from the same family. So I would like to keep it, but yeah, I think I'm gonna have to give it up.
Okay. And then how do you like your coffee? Like, what's your coffee order?
My coffee order, like at home, I just drink like regular coffee, but like I need oat milk and like a sweetener. If I'm buying coffee, it's always going to be a vanilla latte. And generally I like things iced unless it's snowing. Pretty much.
That makes sense.
Like at home I make hot coffee, but like if I'm going to buy coffee out and about, I want it to be iced.
Okay.
I'm also an iced coffee type person. I like, even in Korea, it was like snowing, I still got iced.
Yeah, snow is where I draw the line. Like, I'm sure I want something warm and cozy, but, like, it was kind of, like, low-key raining today, mm-hmm. and I still wanted a nice coffee.
Yeah.
But I'm also a baby about hot beverages and, like, hot things.
Yeah, same.
Because I, like, burn the roof of my mouth.
Uh-huh. I'm, like, really a seasonal easily. Drinker. Like, if it's, like, fall, I start drinking hot drinks, but mm-hmm. in summer, cold.
That makes sense.
I'm not a seasonal drinker. I'm iced coffee no matter the season. Always, always cold drinks.
Yeah, it's the best. Uh-huh. It goes too fast though sometimes, like I'm already almost done with this, but
okay. It's your birthday. What are you doing to celebrate?
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm going to this Vietnamese restaurant that's like a Vietnamese kind of French mix called Kingfisher in uh-huh. Golden Hill. That's one of my favorite restaurants in San Diego. They have a Vietnamese duck dish that I'm dying for, so I'm excited to get that tonight. And then tomorrow night we're doing things with my friends. And we're gonna go to a French restaurant.
Oh, okay.
What type of I think you like to try a lot of different, you know, cuisines. What would you say is your favorite?
Well, my favorite for sure is Mexican food. Like definitely the first thing I do when I come back from a trip is go to this burrito shop in my neighborhood, El Zarape. That also includes when I'm coming back from Mexico. It's usually my first stop as well. So Mexican food is like number one forever and always. I love pretty much any Mediterranean food. If you have a coastline in the Mediterranean, chances are I'm like a big fan of your food. I love dim sum is another one of my favorites. Like I think xiaolong bao is probably like a top favorite dish. And then I love sushi.
Yes.
That's what I had for dinner last night.
I've been dying to go to Din Tai Fung that opened at UTC, but there's so many people, you have to get a reservation.
Yeah.
But you have to book out like weeks in advance.
Yeah, it's
because
true.
Because there's so many people. So it's like I still really want to go there, like, you know, before I graduate. So that's a lot of time. But like it's been on my bucket list.
Really? I've been there so many times. I go for my birthday each time.
I've done a lot of birthday Din Tai Fung trips as well.
So good.
And like low key, obviously the dumplings are the best, but like the green beans are also just kind of the best thing there too.
I like the beef stew or like the beef noodles.
I've had noodles, but I don't think I've had the stew.
Oh.
Everything's good there. It's so consistent as a chain too. You can go to Din Tai Fung in another country and it's still great.
I think the one time I went was in Singapore.
Oh, that's it.
The Singapore one was really nice. Mm-hmm. Also, what's your go-to work outfit? I'm really liking your outfit right now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
By the way. birthday outfit?
Well, like, obviously, I love yoga pants. And that's something that before the pandemic, I would have never worn yoga pants to school. And it seems like everyone as a staff got, or we all as a staff got way more casual mm-hmm. after the pandemic. But I'm trying to be better mm-hmm. about wearing real clothes again. I did have an idea of, like 2 years ago, I was like, what if I just buy, like, 10 CCA shirts and I make that, like, my unofficial uniform every day? Just because I'm not a morning person. I don't really have the energy to think of a cute outfit for work. And I'm also just, like, no offense, I'm not, like, trying to impress my students with a cute fit. Like, it's nice when people are like, oh, you look cute today. But generally, I'm, like, fine with wearing a CCA shirt and, like, yoga pants or jeans.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to be more intentional. Perhaps that'll be my resolution for 33, is to...
33.
Have better outfits. I dress better in my personal life. Thank you.
I liked all the dresses you wear.
Yeah.
Dresses are definitely something I used to do, especially when I first started teaching.
Oh.
There's a lot of little sundresses.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel like I gravitate towards more casual and basics. Yeah.
Do you dress just differently in your personal life versus at school?
Yes, but I'm trying to, bridge that gap a little bit.
Oh, I see.
You know, what I'm wearing right now, I, would wear this out with my friends, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it used to be, a huge divide. It's mostly, during the summer. Summer is, totally different outfits than what I wear at school, obviously.
Yeah. And then, what does a typical day in your life look like?
Well, my alarm goes off, and then I ignore it for probably 30 minutes.
What is your alarm time set to?
It's set to 6:30, but let's be honest, I'm not getting out of my bed. No, this is gonna be so exposing. I'm barely out of bed at 7, maybe. And then the next 30 minutes of my life is pure chaos and not fun at all. And my husband's always if you woke up actually when your alarm went off, you would have a lot more time to just kind of I try to have a cup of coffee before I leave. I make my breakfast. I do my makeup. I shower the night before, so that's not a factor. But it is self-imposed. And then I spend the entire drive to work panicking that I'm not going to make it to work. And then I always do. But it definitely is. So that's a school morning. And then I get here and everything's great. And then I have a fun time. And then I go to the gym.
Uh-huh.
After school. And then since I'm working part-time with the district this year to work on the ethnic studies curriculum, sometimes I'll have meetings in the afternoon or work that I need to do then. Then after the gym, I'll come home. I eat lunch really late at 2. So I'll make a salad. Maybe treat myself to some Housewives while grading.
Yes.
And then, yeah. I'll kind of do work in the afternoon, and then whenever it's time for dinner, it's when I'm kind of
done. How has the working with the district been so far?
Yeah. It's been a really cool experience. I would say I would never want to work outside of the classroom completely. I would say this kind of half working for the district and half working at school has been a really positive experience. But obviously I enjoy working in the classroom with students a lot more than working on, I don't know, other stuff. Even though I love all the colleagues that I've been working with at the district, it's been a really cool experience that way and getting to know and meet a lot of new people. So it's the best of both worlds.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
What do you usually do in the district? What is your work?
So this semester has been primarily focused on building the actual curriculum units for ethnic studies that'll be integrated in 9th grade English. So that's been 100% our focus.
Mm-hmm.
We've completed all 4 units. We're waiting for the 4th one to be approved by the board in about 1.5 weeks. That's a weird way of saying a week and a half. Sorry. Overthinking the recording. In about a week and a half, that should be approved. From there, we're going to start making more teacher resources to actually be able to give teachers resources to use to teach the courses. And then also we're going to be piloting new novels.
Oh.
So yesterday we kind of started fixing up Unit 4 for its final presentation to the board, and then also talking about what books we're going to read for a pilot. So I signed up for a book that I want to read as a potential book to share. and then I'll read that. We're all kind of working on different books, and then we'll present them to each other and then see what ones we want to pilot to add more books. See.
Are you allowed to tell us what book it is?
The one I signed up for, and actually Miss Bryant's going to do it with me, it's called Stay True by Wasu. Uh-huh. And it's a memoir about his time at Berkeley with, like, his best friend.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty fun. Cute.
Yeah, so I'm excited to read that. I haven't read it. I bought it in, like, June. But basically, reading for me goes downhill once the school year starts.
Yeah.
And then during winter break I can do a little bit more reading, or like Thanksgiving break I thought I was gonna be able to read and I had like no time to, so it just gets busy once the school year starts. And also being an English teacher, I'm doing a lot of reading and grading and rereading books you teach, so there's not as much time for reading for fun.
As an English teacher, what's your favorite book to teach?
So it's so interesting because most of my favorite authors, like the books I get to teach from them, are not my favorite books of those authors.
Okay. Oh.
So like I love John Steinbeck and like I like teaching A Mice and Men, but A Mice and Men is obviously a very small novella. It's not like if I were teaching East of Eden. But I would say my favorite book is that I get to teach. It really depends on the group. I would say my favorite book to teach, or as of recent, maybe it's just recency bias, is I love Albert Camus. And I had an amazing group of 10 honors students last semester, so I loved doing The Stranger with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing, like, Camus philosophical essays. So right now, that's been my favorite, but also I love teaching Romeo and Juliet, as you guys know. So.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
I was really
fun. So that's going to be gone in the Ethics Studies curriculum, which is, you know, it's... I don't want to say it's unfortunate, because I think it'll find life in another grade. And I think it's really important that we teach text in the Ethnic Studies 9th grade class that honors the spirit of Ethnic Studies and diverse narratives. But I do love Romeo and Juliet.
It was like, I like the little, like, the plays we did at the end. Those are pretty fun.
I cannot wait to do that project with my current freshman. So we'll see.
Yeah, I also watched the freshman do it last year. That was also...
Oh, yeah, when you were my TA, of course. Yeah,
that was also pretty fun. I remember I sat in the classroom, you know, to be watching it.
They're very silly.
Within the teaching realm, because you're also our journalism teacher, how do you think teaching English and teaching journalism, like, vary, you know? Like, how do you think it's, like, different and similar?
Well, I think they're... Obviously, there's things like critical thinking skills that apply to both, but I find them to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even down to just, like, the writing style. Like, for an English class, you need to master MLA-style writing,
mm-hmm.
which is very clinical and very specific and academic. And so many of those rules do not apply to even, like, Associated Press-style writing in journalism. So even just from a writing standpoint, it's very different. I think there are applicable skills that go across both, but I think in English it's a lot more structured, especially teaching freshmen, is because you're teaching them how to be high school students, but also how to approach English as a high schooler, and kind of give them foundational skills for them to be successful through the rest of the grades. Journalism, it tends to be students that have self-selected into it because they love writing, and they have unique voices and outlooks, and so I feel like in journalism it's just nurturing all of your creativity or your student voices so that you can explore that, because generally people aren't going to take newspaper if they don't like writing. So it's just, I feel like there's a lot more autonomy for students in newspaper as opposed to in English class.
You know, as someone, you know, who's obviously in journalism, I've really been liking the direction that the newspaper has gone in recent years. Because, like when I was a freshman, it was still, like, Pulse Magazine, I think, up until we were sophomores. And then, you know, it switched to newspaper. And I think that was a really nice switch.
Yeah.
I think it was facilitated really nicely.
Well, thank you. And that was from your support as well. And Quinn and Krishna, wherever they are out in the world, at UC Davis or UC Irvine and
BU.
They were super enthusiastic and excited about that even when they were sophomores, knowing that when they were seniors that we were probably going to make this change. So yeah, it all worked out together. It wouldn't have been possible without staff like you and quitting Krishna last year and being open to trying something new that I also think is working really well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Shout out to the previous EIC. Yeah. Maybe listening.
Yeah, hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah.
Come and visit.
On the, like, a similar note, what's your favorite class to teach?
Well, it's obvious, like, I don't even feel like journalism counts anymore. Like, I just feel like every day it's so fun that I don't even feel like I can even consider that a favorite class anymore, because it's just, like, I feel like you know how our mornings are. It's just, it's the best way to start my day.
It is the best way to start the day.
And so I feel like I have to take that out of the running, being like, of course this elective that we've worked hard to, like, curate the vibe exactly how we want is my favorite thing to teach. Obviously, I love Nine Honors. I would probably teach Nine Honors for a very long time. But I really, really, really loved 10 Honors last year. It was the first time I taught it since the pandemic. Like, I taught it online, which isn't the same as being in person. And I was like, oh, man, I really had a great time with 10 Honors. And, again, it could have just been the groups of kids that I had, because they were just so locked in and so much fun. And also just academically stellar. But I think that there is a little bit of a jump in maturity between Nine Honors and 10 Honors that I enjoyed. And I had so many repeat students in 10 Honors that I'd had as Nine Honors students. And I will say some of the more immature ones in Nine Honors had matured so much in 10 Honors. And it was just like I got to see the real them, and we had a great time. So
yeah. If you had, like, the chance, would you ever, like, teach upperclassmen?
So I used to teach 10 CP, or no, not 10 CP, 12 CP a lot.
Yeah, I remember.
And I would be open to it again. AP is not something I'm particularly interested in on the 4x4 schedule. Oh. I think if I taught at Torrey Pines, that might be a different discussion, because, like, for example, I love the book list in 11. So I love the book list in 11th grade. My husband teaches 11 CP. I don't know. I've never taught it. I don't know how I feel about that. But at Torrey Pines, where you have the whole year to teach the test, I think it's so different than I don't know how teachers and students do it here. Like, in the fall, you have 4 months to cover the material, but then by the time the test comes in May, like, you go to review sessions, but, like, maybe you forget. Or then in the spring, you only have 3 months to get through the AP curriculum. So that, to me, feels very daunting from a teaching standpoint.
Oh, I see.
So it's not that I don't like upperclassmen, because I do, but I do like the lowerclassmen.
As someone who takes AP English classes, I think it's just a lot of, like, grinding in May. I think also another thing with mine is, like, this wasn't, like, intentional, but I've never taken an AP exam for like an AP class that I've taken in the fall. Usually, because I think I stack all, like, the AP classes that, like, I'm not, like, particularly, like, that much interested in the fall. Mm-hmm. So then I don't really have to worry about it in the spring. Because I feel like the spring is going to be busy anyways, and I would rather have it, like, be busy doing something that I'm, like, interested in. So I took, like, that's why I took, like, A Push and AP Lang in the spring. And even though it was a lot of work, it was a lot of studying, I think I still had a lot of fun. And I would rather be, like, cramming than, like, having to re-remember material.
Really?
I think other people might have different opinions, but that's just me. I don't want to be remembering material again. I'd rather just grind.
For me, it's, like, I stack it in the fall because I'd rather have more time and, like, thoroughly kind of, like, enjoy or just, like, learn the material than set, like, and have an extra month than, like, review again. Because, like, usually because I have that extra time, it's just, like, I remember it so I don't have to restudy. So
that makes sense, too. I think there's a variety of strategies that could work for people. I don't know what I would do. I'd probably do the ones I like more in the spring as, like, a treat. If I do all my horrible classes in fall when I'm, like, have a lot more energy, and then spring I'll do what I'm interested in. And
really?
Yeah.
For me, it's, like, historically I've always had, like, my easier, like, semester class load in the spring, so I can just, like, enjoy after, like, the burnout of the fall.
That makes sense, too. Again, there's plenty of different strategies that someone could take with this.
Yeah. And, like, so, because for me, like, even in senior year, my spring is, like, 3 APs. They're all, like, enjoyable. I think they're all pretty enjoyable, though. So, I'm not excited for, like, the workload as, like, a second semester senior, but I'm excited for, like, the classes themselves. Yeah.
I took a full load my senior year and it was fine. But then you're like, your friends would leave really early and you're like, oh, wait a second, I have to go to AP Lit now. But it was fun.
Yeah, everyone was like free fords. I'm so envious. Yeah.
My AP Lit teacher senior year was like the teacher that I would model everything I do on. So it's like I had her last period of my senior year. So like that was at least you're spending the day with a teacher that you loved in a class that you loved. And so it was like totally fine.
Oh, I'm gonna be checked out.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your favorite article or like piece of journalism?
Oh, that's such an interesting question.
Like, in general.
Yeah. Well, you guys know I love that Who is the Bad Art Friend?
I also read
New York Times magazine piece. That's insane. This is such a great question that I haven't really thought a lot about. Like I have like publications that I love. Like I think The New Yorker is amazing. The Atlantic, those are really like the highbrow ones. And then for like viral articles, like I love New York Magazine's The Cut, which is where I find most of the bonkers articles that I share with you guys. But as far as, I mean, like there's beautiful pieces of journalism like that, you know, Truman Capote wrote for In Cold Blood, which is, you know, like a groundbreaking piece of like narrative journalistic writing. In the form of like that it reads almost like a fiction novel, but I need to think more about that. I'm sorry I don't have like an answer off the top of my head.
I know this is like sprung upon you, so yeah, we can get back to it later. What's your favorite part about teaching journalism?
I love watching and learning what you are all passionate about. That's one of my biggest things, is I want a school newspaper to reflect that students made it, even when there are times where I was like, you guys, are we really not writing about this? And everyone's like, yep, nope, don't want to. Like, that's totally fine, because it is your product. And so I guess my favorite part is like even less about like instructing about journalism, but like seeing what you all create and allowing you all to have that environment to create something that's yours and that reflects who you are. Because like as over the summer when I said Sage, the one online version we found in my high school newspaper, like our advisor just let us be like, I was like, I'm going to write about Twitter, Conan O'Brien. I forget what else I was writing about. And he just kind of let us do what we wanted, because this is a student newspaper and it should reflect students who are making it. It would probably look different if adults were making it, but that's not what's fun about it. And so I like to see what you guys create.
Yeah, I think it's like, really, I think it's, I get a very, like, warm feeling when I see all the articles compile at the end of each issue, and, like, we get to, like, sort of see it before it's actually printed, and then it's, like, because I sort of realize, like, as EIC, like, this is what everyone's, like, been working on, and, like, this is what people, like, care enough to, like, be writing about, you know, and it's all, like, so different, but it's, like, you know, cohesive in a way, and I think that's, like, the beauty of journalism, is that it's just, it's, like, a collection of, you know, stories from like the community, from the world. I think that's also what interested me first in journalism. And I'm really happy that this like classroom kind of like is able to foster that sort of, you know, environment.
On top of that, I just like, I love seeing kind of the excitement that people have having like their article like published for the first time. Cause there's just like something like to be proud of. And it's just like, it's out there and it's like something that like can cement themselves, like, it's like permanent and it's just there and people can see it and enjoy the work.
This is why I'm glad that the online, our online presence, it's getting better now, because when I was a sophomore taking advanced journalism for the first time, I remember my first article, I think it was like a movie review, and it was an online article and it was published my sophomore year. I remember when I first saw it on the website, I was so excited. It was on like the Pulse magazine like story, and like I reposted it and I was so excited about it. I was like, oh my god, like my name is on here, this is so like, this is my dream.
It like brings me back, because like the first time when I was also a sophomore in journalism on Pulse, like just seeing like the first issue, it was on Seniors and Senioritis, which is super duper like ironic now talking about it. Yeah, it was just like so nice, and like it's like I can see, like my peers could see it too, and like have my friends, I can be like, look, I did this.
I agree, and I think that's why I have been really adamant about staying print, mm-hmm. particularly the newspaper as opposed to Pulse. I think the newspaper gives us so much more flexibility for people's work to be showcased. And even like talking about how excited you were to see your work published, one of my favorite things is to tell the intro students when their stories make the cut for the newspaper. They get so excited.
Yeah.
And I think that that's also such like such a positive relationship that we're building, being like, all right, see, like as an intro student, you can get published in the newspaper or online, and that like maybe they'll come and join Advanced and be, you know, a leader on Raven Review one day. Because, and so that's really exciting to me. But the other reason is, and this is why I will be resistant forever to move it all online, because first of all, anyone can have an online presence now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not particularly special. You could all make a website and write articles if you wanted. I think there's something really special about seeing your work in print.
Yeah.
And also, like, this might be the only time students get to have their work published like this. I kind of freelanced for my college's newspaper, and then I worked at a publishing house where I have a few things in like one of the publications we did there. But like that was since my early 20s. I haven't had any published work since then. So I really think it's important to have those opportunities and those moments where you have a physical copy of something you wrote and that was distributed out to people.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I agree. I think also there's just something about like, I think seeing your name on, like, the online blog post is, like, a different feeling than if you were to see it in print mm-hmm. in the newspaper, like, by, you know, Sage Park or something mm-hmm. like that. I think that's also, like, like a different type of excitement.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And, like, bridging upon, like, the, like, newspaper, like, print thing, like, also, like, and, like, Strip and Pulse to the newspaper, it's just, like, we have more space to mm-hmm. display student voices.
Yeah.
And more chances, because, like, the past one was only, like, 4 issues per year, but we're basically trying to do double now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think with like, newspaper, I think there's a lot more articles in the newspaper, because, like, you can either write, like, a full page or a half page, and so there's, like, a lot of places to fit, you know, different things.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure if we counted, like, an average issue of Pulse and an average issue of the newspaper, the articles would be like double.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Because Quinn and Krishna and I did that one time.
Oh,
we counted all the articles in a Tory Pines newspaper, The Falconer. We counted all the articles in ours, like articles in Pulse. And it was just to give ourselves an idea.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's definitely a big upgrade as far as space and what we can showcase.
Yeah. And then you kind of elaborated on your like experience in journalism as like in your 20s. Do you want to like elaborate further and like how you got to this point, like what made you like in college come pursue that and then become like an English teacher? Or, like,
yeah. It's a very clear trajectory now when I look back on it, but at the time it felt like a little zigzaggy. I've always knew I wanted to work in journalism or politics, mm-hmm. Which are the two things I studied in college. So I was really active in high school journalism. I really, really, really wanted to be... I wanted to work in music criticism for a long time.
Oh.
Like, I have this Rolling Stone writer named Rob Sheffield that I was obsessed with growing up. And I actually got to meet him one time, and he was like, shoot me an email. And I was like, ah, yeah, I was in college. I was like, yeah, I'm a journalism student. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm getting a job at Rolling Stone magazine. Great, this is done. The stars have aligned. But no, he never hit me up again. So it was really sad. I met him at Golden Gate Park at a music festival. But he was, like, very cool. But I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to email him. He's going to give me a job. And then my destiny has been sealed. But I always wanted to work in journalism. And then I got to college. And I tried, for fun mostly, but just to see, like, what if this is an avenue I want to go through? I worked on Gavin Newsom's lieutenant governor campaign,
because
at the time he was the mayor of San Francisco running for lieutenant governor, and so I was an intern there, and it was really fun, but I was like, oh my God, I never want to work on a campaign. It's just a lot of thankless work, a lot of grinding. I was like, he was great, he was always very appreciative to everybody in their work. I got to see him without hair gel one time, that was a thrill. He was wearing a Golden State Warriors hat. Uh-huh. And he took it off for a second, and his hair just, like, it was, like, this long.
Damn.
And he, like, pushed it back up, and he was like, none of you guys saw that, like, as a joke. So I was like, ooh, I got to see Gavin without the hair gel. But I ruled that out, and I was like, okay, well, definitely still studying journalism, still, and that was my major. And still, like, freelancing on the school newspaper. I didn't want to be, like, completely chained to that because that's like a lot of work, like a college daily newspaper. So like I kind of would kind of guest appearances here and there, which was fun. And then I kind of started getting into the nitty gritty, and I don't want to tell you this to deter you from journalism, but the reality of journalism is a lot less glamorous than you think it is, in the sense that you're making extremely low wages. I had a friend in San Francisco who had his master's in journalism from Columbia, and so you can't get more, you know, prestigious than that. Uh-huh. And he just was a series of small town newspaper jobs. Like, he'd have to go live in like Iowa for a little bit, and I'd get a new job at like the Palm Desert Sun or whatever. And I was just kind of like, I know that's not for me. Coast only. I need a city that's like at least 1 million people. So it was just me coming to terms with like this idea that I didn't have what it took to like build my way up that way. All right. So anyways, I did not have what it, I knew I wasn't going to go work my way up from small town newspapers. And actually, who even knows if that's the route people take anymore, since so many of those newspapers are not existing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't want to do that. I was like, I'm not going to live in like some small town in the middle of nowhere. Like, that's not for me. Or the other thing is like people would try to encourage me to get into like niche reporting, which actually probably was the right move. Like people really, like professors told me I should get into tech writing. And this is like kind of sounds misogynist now, but it, maybe not misogynist, but being like a young woman, mm-hmm. he was like, you should leverage that into like being like the cute tech reporter. And I was like, ugh, oh. No. And then I was also like, ew, I don't want to write about tech and like these like Silicon Valley venture capitalists. I was like, no way. So then I still stuck with journalism. I still had fun in my classes. And then I got, I worked at a small publishing house called McSweeney's. Which is founded by an author named Dave Eggers, who's amazing. And I worked there for a bit, and I had a great time. It was very small press. They had a couple different publications. I mostly worked on this literary magazine called The Believer, but like occasionally I would look for manuscripts for like short stories. They would do short stories anthologies. They did a lot of stuff. And that was great. I would have worked in publishing forever probably, except for the fact that my boss was amazing. But she was working 80-hour weeks. She had a degree from Sarah Lawrence, a degree from Harvard. She was brilliant. She was making like $50,000 a year living in San Francisco. And I was like, that doesn't seem like it's gonna be the lifestyle I want, even though, and also the jobs were hard to get. Like I would apply for jobs in New York, wouldn't hear back. Like even if I felt like I had a stacked resume, it just wasn't working out. And then one day my best friend, who I'm actually seeing tomorrow, like made an offhanded comment because she was getting her teaching credential. She was like, I think you'd be a great teacher. And I was like, maybe. And then I just kind of finished out college in San Francisco and did my thing. And then I moved back to San Diego. And before I got my teaching credential, I was like, I should probably figure out if I like working with kids. Mm-hmm. And then so I worked as an instructional aide in an eighth grade classroom. Just to be like, let's, like, the content aside, like, I know I'm good with content. And I know I can still work with books and writing. And that's all exciting. But, like, to me, the most important part of teaching is working with students, mm-hmm. and like your content area comes second to me. And then I loved kids, so then I got my teaching credential, and that's how that happened. Yay. Sorry, that was very long-winded.
No, it was like, it was really interesting, yeah. to hear like sort of like someone's like, I guess like journey into like finding, you know, teaching, yeah. finding their job. Mm-hmm. And I think also as like, you know, as seniors, it's like good to, you know, hear. So I think sort of like to wrap this episode up, I just want to ask, how do you like to unwind, and also what's like your favorite show?
Oh.
And a hot take.
Oh, and a hot take. I wish I prepared for this. Favorite way to unwind, I really like, this sounds so stupid and basic, I love walking, but I love like long distances of walking.
Oh, no, I understand.
Like on a weekend, like I'll do like 8 miles in a day, mm-hmm. like on a Saturday. Because like I live in a very walkable neighborhood. So I'm in University Heights. I can walk down to Normal Heights, Kensington, do the loop back through North Park. That's what I love to do, stopping on the way, like doing little things here and there, stopping in the shops. I would say that's like my favorite activity, and that's like also what I do on big trips, is high mileage walking days. It's just fun, like if I'm with my husband or my friends and you're just walking and talking, that's kind of like my favorite thing to do. Sorry, what were the other ones?
Favorite show.
Favorite show.
And hot take.
Favorite show. Like, I guess, like, if I'm saying, like, what I think is the greatest television of all time, I would say The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. But, like, as you guys know, in practice of what I'm watching on a regular basis, it's pretty much all Bravo shows. And that's not true. I watch, like, you know, like, I'll watch Succession. I'll watch anything that's, like, on the air. Or, like, I love, like, Danny McBride shows, as stupid as they are. I think they're really funny. But, like, yeah. Some Housewives. Some Vanderpump Rules before it got dumb. I mean, it's always been dumb, but you know what I mean? When it was a lot more, when they were broke waiters, that was a really fun show. Because I feel like, I don't know, I like to unwind with my TV watching, turn my brain off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except for, like, you know, when I'm watching, like, a prestige show. Mm-hmm. Love White Lotus. Like, I love anything pretty much on HBO. Yeah.
And then what's a hot take that you have?
I'm sure I've told you guys some recently. Like, what if I, like, help me out here. What have I said that you'd be like, wow?
I know, like, consistently between, like, our other interviewees, that Taylor Swift is overrated.
I believe that. Okay, so that's one of my things I'm going to say. The Spotify Wrapped on social media, I feel like, I told my husband this last night, like, I feel like a lot of people are just trying to out Taylor Swift fan each other. They're like, well, I listened to Taylor Swift for 22,000 minutes this year. Well, I, and I'm like, okay, yeah, we get it. It's like literally everybody I see posting their Spotify Wraps are like literally just all the random stuff they listen to, yeah. Or just like, and maybe it's true. I'm not trying to hate, but like, I guess I am trying to be like, Taylor it is. Of course it's Taylor. And it's like, okay, yeah, you guys, there's other artists out there. I will say my other hot take, which I shared when the intro students did their hot takes. People who make, like, fall their identity and they live in California.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, two of my close girlfriends live on the East Coast. One's in New York and one's in Boston. Or she's in Cape Cod now, actually. But my friend in New York, like, whenever I'm like, ooh, dude, fall is stupid because fall doesn't exist for us. I'm like, I just go from the beach and then not to the beach and then back to the beach. Yeah. And she was like, you just don't get it. Like, she's from New Jersey. And I'm like, to me, that makes sense. You can love fall. Because you have the changing colors.
Yeah.
You have everything. Like, you have a real fall. And also, East Coast summer can be brutal. Yeah. So it's, like, a huge, like, reward. It's like, oh, man, we made it through the muggy, wet, rainy, like, horrible New York summer. And then we get, like, the beautiful New York fall. Mm-hmm. But, like, the people in California where they're, like, sweater weather. I'm like, girl, it's going to be 75 on Saturday. And it's December. So, no. So I guess that's my hot take.
Today was when I truly realized, like, oh, it's, like, getting really chilly, because, like, mm-hmm. I said that it was, like, white sky, it was, like, foggy, I was, like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and my dumb self wore my Birkenstocks anyways, because I was too lazy to put on new shoes. I was, like, I should wear real shoes today, and I was, like, no. Oh. Probably because I was stressed out, because I was, did not give myself enough time to get ready in the morning.
What was your top Spotify artist and song?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's actually so embarrassing. I know we have the bells going to ring in 3 minutes. It's not so embarrassing. It's fine. So, my top song, it was a tie. Uh-huh. This is where it gets embarrassing. Between Moving Out by Billy Joel and Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter. Oh. The Billy Joel thing needs explanation. I've never listened to Billy Joel in my life. And then in March of this year, Apple Music was like, listen to Billy Joel. And I was like, okay. And I became obsessed with his album, The Stranger. Mm-hmm. I played it in class because Carrie loves it too. And so that was my top album. And he was my top artist by like a ridiculous amount. And I would not even say, like, I did not expect to be exposed this way. But so this is my year of Billy Joel, I suppose.
And then do you have a song recommendation for like,
if not, we're just going to put Espresso.
Yeah. go with anything Sabrina Carpenter. She's also my top five.
Okay.
That's my pop girly this year.
Thank you so much, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.